Red Eye is 3 hours of alternative politics and culture, broadcast live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver, Canada. Here's Leela Chinia.
For the past several decades, Jerry Lewis has graced the television screen, laughing, crying, and pitying the disabled in order to raise money for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. The Jerry Lewis Telethon, for many people, represents the work being done to help people with disabilities. But for many disability rights activists, the Telethon and Jerry Lewis are offensive, promote stereotypes, and encourage pity. Laura Hershey is one of those activists. She is a writer as well as an activist, and she joins me on the phone today. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
So can you tell us about Jerry Lewis's recent comments on a CBS interview?
Yes. In May of this year, he really sort of laid bare his attitudes even more than he had before. He was being interviewed for a profile about him on a CBS Sunday morning program, and he was asked his opinions about people like me who protest against the Telethon or who object to its pity approach. And his response was, if it's pity, we'll get some money. You don't want to be pitied because you're a cripple in a wheelchair? Stay in your house.
Wow.
And so for many of us, that was just so offensive on so many different levels. Not only the idea that, you know, pity is the primary reaction to people with disabilities, and I guess in his view, the only appropriate reaction, but also this, you know, that really gratuitous comment, stay in your house, which is a real slap in the face of the disability community because of our history of so often being forced into confinement, either in institutions or in our own homes because of lack of access or lack of community support services, and it just was such an insult to our community.
Now, how did CBS help to clean up Jerry Lewis's image for him?
They replayed that same profile a few months later. In fact, just I think in late August, just before the telethon aired on Labor Day weekend, and they actually cut that part of the conversation. So this was after the disability community had really raised quite a ruckus. We had organized, we launched a website, and we organized a lot of letter writing and email writing to MDA and to CBS and to corporate sponsors of the telethon, expressing, you know, a lot of people wrote in expressing their outrage at his comments. And so it did, actually, our efforts did result in MDA issuing a very, an apology, a very public apology in which they did not, you know, they didn't actually acknowledge what was wrong with the statements, but they did say that that they were issuing an apology. So I think after that, CBS sort of colluded with MDA and the telethon to revise history and make that whole quote go away.
I guess this is by no means, though, the first time that Jerry Lewis has made offensive comments about people with disabilities, is it?
Right. No, he's said a number of things in the past, both on the telethon and in articles and interviews about people with disabilities, which really show such an archaic view of our lives. In the past, in 1991, Jerry Lewis wrote an article about what he believed or imagined it would be like to be a person with muscular dystrophy in a wheelchair. And one of the things he said in that article was, I just have to get used to being half a person. And he said other things, too. Like, one time he said that if he had ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, which is one of the disabilities covered by MDA, that if he had that disability, he would put a gun to his head.
Wow.
And on the telethon, he has said things like, my kids are mistakes that came out wrong. It's up to us to fix them.
Unbelievable. Now, I mean, while Jerry Lewis is extremely offensive, it's not just about him, though, is it? I mean, there are issues with the MDA's, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's telethon more generally. What's your perspective on the idea of kind of begging for money for people with disabilities?
We're really against that idea. You know, the MDA telethon and similar charity appeals, fundraising appeals, really emphasize or play upon people's guilt and pity in reaction to disability. These kinds of appeals really make it seem, they try to make it seem as though people with disabilities are helpless and needy and dependent upon the generosity of the viewers or the potential donors. And as, you know, disability rights activists, many of us feel that this really is an assault upon our integrity or our dignity as people, and also it's a real obstacle to our efforts to achieve equality and rights and opportunities. Because if people, you know, internalize this belief that we're inherently needy and helpless and incompetent, then why would they give us jobs? You know, why would they hire us? Why would they want to accept us as neighbors or friends or lovers or coworkers? You know, it sets up this real division between the non-disabled and the disabled.
Now, the real kind of visible face on the telethon are the children. How does the telethon exploit children in particular?
It uses children, you know, because children are cute and can be so easily made to seem helpless and sad and pitiful and brave, you know, tragic but brave. The telephone really is fond of trotting out little children and even prompting them to say things. I've watched the telephone every year, and a lot of my friends think I'm crazy to do that because it's just so unbearable to watch it. But I always feel like, you know, I have to see what they're up to. And I've seen them prompt little kids to say things like, I hate my weak muscles, I wish they'd go away. Or, you know, they'll really focus on the children, what they can't do. You know, they can't ride a bicycle, they can't jump up and down, they can't run, they can't play with their friends. And in fact, you know, I was a child with a disability, and I know many children with disabilities, and, you know, they're kids like every other kid. There are certain things that they can't do, but there's also a lot of things that they can do, and it doesn't do anybody any good to focus on what they can't do just to exploit, you know, the pity that people might feel.
And I guess it almost portrays this image as if children with disabilities don't grow up to be adults with disabilities.
Well, right. I mean, they always, especially on the MDA telephone, they talk about muscular dystrophy as a death sentence, and, you know, that this child has no future unless you make a donation and things like that. And in fact, most of the disabilities covered by MDA are not, they're not death sentences. I mean, you know, I've had spinal muscular atrophy all my life, and I'm 39 years old, and there's, you know, they're continuing to repeat the same message that, you know, that these children have no future, and I think they're kind of conveying a double message there, either that the child will die or that they'll grow up to be disabled, and what kind of future is that, you know? So either way, they really play on the negativity and on stereotypes about the idea that disability is almost worse than death.
So the Muscular Dystrophy Association, the MDA, is actually a private corporation that makes millions of dollars each year from the telethon. Where does that money go?
Well, you know, I don't have statistics right in front of me, but a large percentage of it goes to administrative costs. They have, you know, a whole administrative executive structure. They have a CEO that makes over $250,000 a year, and And then a lot of it actually goes into the cost of the telethon itself. That's one thing that they don't tell you, is that it costs a great deal of money just to put on the telethon. They don't pay the stars, but they pay, you know, they have to pay all the costs of the staging and the broadcasting and the, you know, the technical crew and all that. Then a lot of the money goes into medical research with the idea of finding a cure for muscular dystrophy. And that's the thing that's really played up the most on the telethon, is that, you know, the cure is right around the corner and you've got to give money so that we can find that cure and make this disease go away. You know, well, they've been saying that for 30 or 40 years now. And, well, you know, I want to be clear about this. We're not, in the disability rights community, it's not that we're opposed to any type of medical research. I mean, research can sometimes discover treatments or devices or other things that can really improve people's quality of life. But this this total focus on the cure is really something that reflects a distorted view of disability. The truth is that most of the research that they're doing with the MDA money, it's not going to directly benefit people that have MD or any of the other covered disabilities here and now. A lot of what they're doing is genetic research so that they can do prenatal screening and selective abortion to eliminate the possibility of giving birth to someone with a disability. So they really sort of present it in an inaccurate way. They make it seem like this person that you're seeing on TV that you're feeling so sorry for as a viewer is going to get out of their chair and walk because you give money. And that's not really the thrust of the research. And actually, some of the stuff that people really do need here and now for better quality of life, MDA will not pay for out of all those funds that they raise. For example, a lot of adults with neuromuscular disabilities can live much longer and better lives if they have mechanical ventilation, like a ventilation support machine that helps them breathe. MDA won't pay for that. That's not one of their covered services, even though the benefits of that are tremendous for so many people. And similarly, like with wheelchairs, they always brag about paying for wheelchairs for people, but there's a strict limit on the amount that they'll pay. Their limit is like $1,500, which just, I mean, that won't buy, that buys a really poor quality chair, a very real standard chair. It won't pay for any specialized seating that people need or things like that.
Well, I think your point around the cure is just so interesting because on your website there's this frequently asked questions section, and I guess one of the questions related to the protests against the Jerry Lewis telethons is, well, don't you want a cure? And I think one thing that struck me from that is, you know, the cure needs to be about curing prejudice and discrimination, not about the disease itself.
A lot of people outside the disability community probably come to think that, you know, we're all just sitting around waiting to be cured, waiting for our disabilities to go away. And in fact, that's just such a low priority for most people that I know. It's just not something that I personally think about very much because, you know, to me, a lot of the issues that we face as disabled people really do arise more from the environment and society, and those are things that can be changed, you know, with the political commitment and a commitment of resources, we can change prejudice and inaccessibility and those kinds of things that really do make life more difficult for people with disabilities.
So, Laura, we don't have too much time left, but I understand that this year the call to action to protest against the telethons was "We're not staying in our houses," which was basically a direct response to Jerry Lewis's comments on that CBS interview. I'm just wondering if you could describe for us the kinds of actions that have been taking place to protest the telethons.
Yeah, over the Labor Day weekend this year, there were protest actions in over a dozen cities across the U.S. everything from just tickets outside of TV stations to leafleting in busy downtown areas. There were protests in Amherst, Massachusetts, Boston, Massachusetts, Charleston, South Carolina, Chicago, Illinois, Los Angeles, and a number of other cities. And here in Denver, we had a really good protest outside of a hotel where they were broadcasting the local segment of the telethon. We had about 30 people protesting legally outside, and then several of us also went inside the hotel and chanted and carried signs and really tried to confront the telethon very directly and did civil disobedience. And we, there were seven of us arrested for that. So, you know, it was quite a, we were actually very proud of what we did because I think it really put the issue of pity front and center, and we were confronting that very directly and saying, no, you know, we want control of our own story of our lives, and you can't tell people that we have pathetic, pitiable lives.
That's so great. Any ideas on how folks up here in Canada can support the protests?
Well, sure. There are a number of corporate sponsors that every year they have a very high profile as donors and contributors to the telethon. The list of those corporate sponsors is on my website, and maybe you can give that address in a minute. But
yeah,
if people want to write letters to those corporate sponsors, because even though those are American companies, I'm sure many of them are selling products and doing business in Canada as well. And then also I would just encourage people to more generally just, you know, think critically about media images of disabled people. When you see either a fundraising appeal for a charity or even a TV movie or a television show or a magazine article or a newspaper article or a TV news story about that involves disabled people, I would really encourage you to question what kinds of images and messages are being shown about our lives and ask yourself questions like, you know, did disabled people really contribute to creating this image and this message, or is this a message created and manufactured by non-disabled people who have some kind of a stake in creating a more negative view of disability? Are these images realistic? Do these images emphasize the social oppression of disabled people, or are they trying to make it seem like disability is just a personal problem or a medical problem? What is the, you know, what kinds of messages are in here about the possibilities for social change as opposed to just individual cure or adaptation? So just, I think critical thinking about the media is really important, and doing media activism to challenge negative stereotypes and inaccurate messages.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Laura, for taking the time to talk with us today, and good luck with all your future actions.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
I've been speaking with Laura Hershey, and she's a writer and activist, and she maintains the website www.cripcommentary.com, and that's where you can get more information on the campaign to boycott the Jerry Lewis Telethon.
You've been listening to a program produced by Red Eye, an alternative media collective which broadcasts every Saturday morning from 9 until noon on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM, in Vancouver, Canada.